Blessed be your name. We return tonight, Lord, as the one leper to say thank you for the meeting last night, for the words of life that encouraged our hearts. For, Lord, looking over your great promise, Lord, for stirring up our faith, knowing that we would not stagger at the promise of God. Neither would we consider the deadness of the church today. We return the thanks and the honor and the glory. We give you the praise tonight, even for the message that you will bring to our hearts. The wonderful spirit that is flowing, we thank you very much for your goodness and grace to us. We pray in advance for those that are sick and afflicted in our midst. Pray that you will grant them the faith. That, Lord, when we approach you, there won't be any doubt, there won't be any fear. But you will bring their faith right up, that they will walk away from those sicknesses and those problems. We believe that it will happen. We believe that you are still God and you still heal the sick. And nothing is impossible if we believe. Bless your children, Lord. And bless, Lord, the words tonight. As we think on the things of the Lord. Bless us and bless the congregation. Bring revelation to the hearts of your people. Faith, boldness, determination. Wherever the word may go, let it produce faith and boldness. And by that faith, we shall have the victory. Bless your people now and bless your servant with the words of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. And the congregation say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen means so let it be. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Yes, the voice of a departing shepherd. We cannot enter into that feeling. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. You may be seated. Our scripture was taken from 2 Peter, the 12th verse, on to the 21st verse. And it's such a marvelous scripture. So my little message tonight would be that we have not followed fables. We have not followed fables. And I want to establish that tonight in way of remembrance. And we certainly thank God for his visitation last night in such a mighty power and anointed word, sir. Yes, I was surprised after talking to some of the brethren and went inside. I don't live too far, just a wall or two away. So I came out and I said, my, this place must be empty now. Everybody is gone. Man, I tell you, more than 70% of the people were still there. It only take the power of the Holy Ghost. And that was way off there, about 11 after 11. So then the spirit start moving. I tell you, we don't feel to move. And Brother Kenny said, after the blessings of the Lord, the people just sat there. And, did not want to go out, even after the music stopped. And when we start getting that way, I believe that we are getting somewhere we are blessed of the Lord. Yes, so I tell somebody there, Brother Timmy, I said, man, I could have been preaching still. When I see the people stood out there for about an hour and a half, and I could have been preaching, so I am back here tonight, at least. And we want to dwell upon that little subject, starting a little early tonight. I wait until you get into the Spirit. Yes, if I don't feel the Spirit moving in the congregation, then I don't feel to preach. But then when I see the Spirit of the Lord move in the congregation, then it gives me confidence. I know the Lord is there and the people, are ready for the Word of God. So that is why sometimes the time changes, where I come out 5 minutes later, 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later. I say, if they want the word, they've got to get into the Spirit.
Yes.
So, I believe that we will take the same trend tonight. What did we have? We have, we shall not stagger at the promise of God. And that was a blessing. And then we had, we will not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. And tonight there is another not. We have not followed Hebrews. Yes. So what it is really is that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Yes. And a fable is a fictitious story. And we have not followed a fictitious story. Yes. Drawn up by Brother Branham, nor drawn up by Brother Bob, nor drawn up by Brother Bruce, nor Brother Parella, our former pastors here at GCC, and Brother Maggie, and now, you know, drawn up by Brother Kenny, and the ministers over there in the Caribbean. But Brother Paul, when Brother Peter went on to say that we have followed a sherwood of prophecy. Amen. Yes, and I believe that we have a sherwood of prophecy. So many years ago, I preached another message here, and that is a sure word of prophecy. But tonight, I will speak on the subject of we have not followed fables. I just shortened up the title. Cunningly devised fables, which is a fictitious story. And there are many doctrines around the world, and many heresies around the world. They are only fictitious stories. All organizations establish fictitious stories. That's not the gospel. If it is not a sure word of prophecy, then it is a fictitious story. And around the world, all organizations, all religions, they have fictitious story. Yes, and that is why you could read, you know, in the Roman religion and the Catholic religion, all kinds of things about Atlas and how you call them, idols, you know, great big idols. You could read about those things. They are fictitious story that makes up a religion. And the Hindu religion, I tell you, there was no end of the fictitious story. It's sickening to hear now, all traced back to Nimrod, all traced back to Babylon. The volume is just good there. Hold it right there. Yes, I strain my throat when you see it is not just right. So now if you study some of those mythical, you know, religions, you will see how many fictitious stories that they have. Yes, you read some of them, I tell you, you want to know how people could ever believe that. Yeah, that a man, like the Hindu philosophy, it says that a man was born who was a monkey man. His name was Hanuman. Yes, he had a tail. Yes, and his mother, how he came about is that his mother realized that in the last reincarnation, she was a bad woman. So, she blinded herself and went to the jungle, and then God was passing and gave her this child. Yes, and said, but I will make you a monkey man, because your mother cannot take care of you. And after that, you know, Hanuman was born. And he was born as a great power of the wind. So they call him the power of the wind. Yes, he controls the wind. And you know who that is in the Bible? Satan is the prince and the power of the air. Yeah, so that's the devil. And they made up that story. And people believe that by the millions around the world, all of India almost is bewitched by that fictitious story of Hanuman. Yes, and he started the fictitious story, went on to say that he started to eat fruits from the trees, and his mother told him that anything that is red, swallow it. Eat it. And you know what happened to that man? He went out there and swallowed the sun. And people believe that Hanuman made a mistake and swallowed the sun. And all the other gods come and bow down to this monkey man, and told him to spit out the sun, otherwise he was in darkness. Yes, so he eventually vomited the sun. So now some of us came from that background,
We have come here to fellowship with you under the word of God today. That is where we come from. That is where Brother Bruce come from. His mother come from. His father. Well, not my father so much. And my grandfather. Yes. And our little sister here, Sister Parvati. And Brother Anand was former, you know, Hindu. Parents Hindu. Yes. And God has delivered us. We realize that that was a fictitious story. There was no end, friend. If you ever know about that culture, you have to sit down in the evening there. And 7 days, they have what you call a revival of Bhagavat. And then after that, they tell those stories from a book called the Ramayana. And then they read those stories. There was no end to those stories. They trace right back to Babylon. And people sit down there and sit down there till midnight. Yes, 1 o'clock. They are reading that book and telling you all these fictitious stories. Thank God that he has delivered us. Amen. Yes, and help us to appreciate our salvation. To know that we was bowing down to wood and stone. Yes, and believe in all these fictitious. But I'll tell you something. I was not born for that. From the time I was small and I hear them stories, I tell my grandmother, I don't believe that. Yes. And then one thing she said to me that really struck, she says, son, don't matter how many gods that people talk about, there is only one God in this world. Yes. And at the end of her life, coming to the end of her life, I baptized her and led her to the Lord. Yes. And she confessed the Lord Jesus, an old Hindu. I said, why did you believe that then? She said, I believe that because of your grandfather. But I never believe in the Hindu religion. Yes, and she died calling on the name of the Lord. Now, that is how far a fictitious story can carry you, which is a fable. Yes, and this world, you know, is made up of fables. A lot of fables are written in history, lying stories. Yes, to cover the reputation and the pride of men. Yes, sir. So a fictitious story. A man told me a fictitious story when I was a little fella. I used to sell rum, you know. Yes, and being a restaurant, I was a bad fella, little fellas. Yes, God has chosen you to grow up in a Christian home. Yes, I had to toss up with a lot of you know, roughneck people. And I tell you, sell rum until 2 o'clock in the morning, a little fella. Yeah, exposed to a lot of things. And a man walk in there and tell me a fictitious story. One time, you know, I listened to him, and he said there was a man that used to eat soap and drink kerosene and run faster than motor car. Yes, he used to run faster than a motor car. And then he used to jump from house to house. And one day he fell down and died. I tell you, the blankest story that I ever heard. Yes, of this man eating soap, drinking pitch oil. Yes, running faster than a motor car. And then one day he was jumping from house to house and he fell down and died. He said the story. So sometimes when I fed up telling my children stories, you know, Mary used to be on one side and Susie used to be on one side. I said, Daddy, tell us a story. Mary said, Daddy, I badly want to make the rapture, you know. He heard of the rapture. So they used to hear stories on both sides. Yes. And then I get tired hearing stories. I'm telling stories. I said, that is enough. Go and sleep now. They said, Daddy, tell us the last one. I say, a man used to eat soap and drink fish oil. And they said, Daddy, not that one, not that one. Be tired to hear that. I said, that's the last one I have. So I used to use that picture as a story to kind of ward them off. Yeah, Bobby gets some of that. Yes, and they don't like that story at all because it's not very sweet. Yes. No, they want to hear Bible stories. So now that is what Brother Peter was talking about. He said, listen to me, when I preach unto you the gospel, it was not something like that that came from Babylon. Yeah, that came, you know, by some kind of a storytelling. Yeah, it's not a fictitious story. It's not something made up. Yes. So now hear the words of Brother Peter here. How wonderful. Now he was a departing shepherd. And to think of a departing shepherd, how his heart would feel. The Lord had already prophesied that he will die as a martyr in so many words in a parable. So now Peter had that on his mind, and then Peter, he said, these things that I am going to tell you, you know them already. They are not strange to you. He says, but I keep you reminded and I put you in remembrance of these things. In other words, he was trying to confirm their faith. He said, though you are establishing the present truth, I am trying to confirm your faith. He said, because sooner or later, I must give up this tabernacle, I must die as the Lord prophesied, and I must go. He says, so I'm giving you at least another chance. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Can you get into the story? Can you get into the pity of this? There's a departing shepherd writing a last letter to the people of God. And he said, I'm not telling you something that you don't know about. You heard it and heard it and heard it about the coming of the Lord. I testified about the Lord on Mount Transfiguration already. I told you that. I told you what happened. I was an eyewitness from the beginning. Yes, sir. And I want you to understand that we had and we still have eyewitnesses from the beginning of this ministry. Yes, of this ministry of Brother Branham. There were men that sat under the ministry of Brother Branham who died and went on, and I still think that there are some here, some sisters and brothers that are still here who is alive today that sat under the prophet's ministry. And we have the same testimony, that we have eyewitnesses even from the beginning. Yes, sir. And we believe. So now, Brother Peter, this is what he was trying to bring out, to show them, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Yes, sir. So now, he was an eyewitness, and he knew what took place upon the earth, that the Lord had come the first time. And he was trying to anchor the faith of the people, that, you know, if they were tolerating some kind of a doubt, some kind of a fear, some kind of an unbelief in their hearts, before he departed, he wanted to grind that unbelief out, that fear, yeah, that doubt in their heart. So he wanted that even after he died, he wanted their faith to remain solid. He said, even after my decease, that you remember these things, that it was not something that was a fable that was preached unto you for all the years after the Lord ascended into heaven. So now the coming of the Lord was the emphasis here, and he said, I want you to understand that we did not preach a fable to you when we told you that there was a man called the Lord Jesus. He was the Messiah. He came into the world. He preached the gospel. He was crucified. He rose again from the dead, ascended into glory, and the great power of God came on the day of Pentecost. He said that all those things are not fables. Yes. Now, brothers and sisters, I can draw a parallel here, though I cannot go too deep. But there was today a man called William Branham. The fulfillment of Malachi 4, we call him the Malachi 4 prophet. Yes. And when he came on the scene, yes, many of us was not around. But we heard the tapes, we heard the message, we heard eyewitnesses. Great signs and wonders and miracles was done under his ministry. As the time go on throughout the years, now there are people that don't even believe that. There are people that don't ever believe that there was a man called William Branham who was so mightily used of God. They think that, you know, it's a bunch of fables. And some has found it difficult today to believe his declaration. And that declaration was that at the opening of the seven seals, after the opening of the seven seals, the mighty angel of Revelation 10:1 stood upon the altar. And you understand the parallel. I cannot go too deep there, my friends. But that is found, Brother Kenny, just show me there that that is on page 65 of the new edition of the seals, but it is also found in, on page 74 and 75 of the old edition. So now I am here to imitate Brother Peter, to put you in remembrance of some things, though you know these things and are established in the present truth. Don't you ever get tired of being reminded about the promises of God. Yes, sir. Sometimes we forget as human beings. Sometimes it grows stale. Sometimes they become common. Sometimes the fowls of the air come and take the word of God out of somebody's heart. You must be reminded of these things. So the prophet of God, his ministry blossomed onto the opening of the seals. Yes, and Revelation 10:1 did stand upon the earth. So I want to put you in remembrance that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Even though this ministry started in 1933 and went on to 1946, and in 1946 it went worldwide until the revival was over, and mighty signs and wonders was documented in all kinds of books, and they are on the tapes. We have many books there of prophet visits South Africa, William Branham, a man sent from God. We have footprints on the Sands of Time, and now we have five or six books on the supernatural written by our brother there, George Jensen. My beloved, we must understand that our children do not have the experience that we had back there. You know, they were born, and from the time they were born, grown up in the house of God, and even unsaved people that came and were saved under the ministry that we now preach, that they only heard a story. Yes. They only heard a story. They never had the experience that Brother Renner would have. And Brother Kenny, you heard the prophet. You've seen him for yourself, Brother Kenny, right? And Pastor Muggy. Yes, sir. And he's seen the prophet of God. Others here seen it. But beloved brothers and sisters, after our children and after people that come from the world constantly, you know, heard these stories, sometimes in the mind they wonder if those stories are really true. Did they really happen? Yes, I am here to tell you that what you heard preached to you over the years and from little children and from the time that you was converted and came to the message, I am here to remind you that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not. No, friend, this was not hushed up overnight by your minister here. It was not hushed up by Brother Bruce from the Caribbean and then brought over here. And then these people foolishly believe these fables, these things actually happened. I don't believe that when Brother Branham said that the seal was going to be open, it was a fable. I don't believe that when he said that seven angels came down from glory in the bottom of an eye and literally took him up, yes, 26 miles high, that was a fable. Though it may sound like a fable to the world, yes, sir, I am here to put you in remembrance that it is not a fable. No, these things actually happen. Yes, there are thousands of people around the world that believe those things. Yes, and contend for those things. They are eyewitnesses. People are eyewitnesses. And right then, Brother Branham had several eyewitnesses. Yes, when he was hunting. That, you know, the angels came down and took Brother Branham bodily and took him up into the cloud. Yes. So now, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we believe that Malachi 4, 5 and 6 was fulfilled in William Branham. I want to confirm your faith tonight. as children. I want to confirm your faith over there in India who came out from heathen religions. I want to confirm your faith over there in Africa, the Philippines, Europe, that these things did happen, and eyewitnesses are still alive right in this congregation. Yes, how many believe these things here? And there was a church here that believed these things. We contend for these things. And we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Yes, these were not fables that was drawn up by a man called William Branham Ferner. No, he had no purpose to draw up these things as fables and tell you such fantastic things of the dead being raised, crippled legs being made straight, hundreds of thousands of people being healed, and hundreds of thousands of people was discerned. Their hearts was discerned. Their mighty miracle took place. Yes, he went to South Africa. 7 truckload of crutches and wheelchairs was taken away after the people was healed. And the people that was made well was running behind the trucks. Giving glory to God. It appeared in the newspapers. So we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Believe, brothers and sisters, you don't know how hard this is for people to believe outside there. That there was a man, and the Lord used him right up to the place of the opening of the seals. That's fantastic. To come up to that place where the man was taken up by 7 angels. It sounds like some sort of a fabricated story. Yes, but it is not a fabricated story. These things actually happened. And there were eyewitnesses, and there are still eyewitnesses that are alive today. Yeah, so if, you know, anybody that will hear this message will entertain these things and they are not sure if they really happened, we want to confirm that to you today. That they really happened. Little fellows that now, growing up, you don't understand the message as you ought to. You came in late, some of you, from religion or whatever. These are not fabricated stories here by the pastors of GCC. You know, these things were not fabricated in the Caribbean and came down here. There was a source that this came from. These were promises in the Bible, number one. We have a foundation where we could anchor our faith. And that faith is anchored in the Word of God. These were scriptures to be fulfilled. Brother Branham was the fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5, and 6 as the Malachi 4 prophet. Anointed by the spirit of Elijah. Yes, that people read about in the Bible for thousands of years. That there was going to be a prophet sent before the second coming of the Lord. And it did happen, brethren. This was not a fable. And many of us, we are tired of hearing these things, but we believe them. And I hope that you are not, you don't mind being reminded today. Yes, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Yeah, the more we hear it, the more we believe it. What we are trying to do is to grind out the fear, grind out the doubt, grind out the unbelief. Don't you know, friends, that there are people that now come to the message way off in Africa from a heathen religion? Yes, 3 months, yes, 1 year. People now denounce their Hindu religion. 6 months, or one year, 18 months, and they are not too sure about if these things that is coming from way down in the West, amongst, you know, in the country called, from the country called America, if they are true. My beloved, and if this tape will fall into your hands, I want to confirm your faith. Yes, as a heathen, you have made no mistake of leaving your religion. You have not made no mistake in leaving your Hindu religion. Yes, your African religion coming out of the Catholic Church. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. There lived a man called William Branham. He was anointed by the spirit of Elijah. He preached, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the gospel. Yes, a pillar of fire did accompany him. These things, my brother, are not fables, my beloved. It really happened. Yeah, there were eyewitnesses even from the beginning of his birth. There was a pillar of fire over his crib. I believe those things. And if I didn't believe them to be true, friend, I won't be standing behind this pulpit. Yes, but they are true. They happened. Yes, we have the history books of it. We have the tapes to prove it. We have the film to prove it. Yes, he was gifted of God. He was a mighty prophet in our day. Yes, sir. But the parallel I want you to draw here, friend, is that Brother Peter is saying that when I made known unto you the coming of the Lord, it was not a fever. And I want you to understand that after the prophet of God was used as an evangelist throughout the world, he came up to a very nutty part, and that is the opening of the seal and the descending of the mighty angel upon the face of the earth. People around the world find it very difficult, and right in our backyard, we have a man here, one of the only church in the message. He finds it very difficult to believe that Revelation 10:1 stood upon it, like Brother Branham said. He wants to take it to the resurrection. It's a lie of the devil. Yes, my brothers, we have eyewitnesses, and we never, you know, calling you device fables when we spoke those things to you. It is the truth. It is found in Brother Branham's message. It is found on his tapes. The mighty angel stood upon earth at the event of the seal. Yes, sir. And if that did not happen, Brother Branham would have found himself to be a false prophet, because he was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. Now, I hope you catch that there. That's not my message. I don't want to go into that area. But Brother Branham was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, according to the declaration of 1933. And if something had not happened at the seals where the mighty angel stood upon earth, my brothers and sisters, Brother Branham would have been found a lying prophet. But he's not a lying prophet. No, sir. That did really happen upon the face of the earth. And that confirmed the ministry of Brother Branham. Oh, yes. We got to go from there. Now, it confirmed the ministry of Brother Branham. When we hear of the mighty signs and the mighty wonders that took place, you know, under Brother Branham's ministry and the gift of healing that he brought into the world, and he used the very same scripture, "We shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover." That was not a fable. Come on. That was not a fable. And if it was not a fable then, it's not a fable today. The Bible says we shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Yes, and if you don't believe that is a fable, then apply that scripture for your healing today. Right in your seats, my brother, right in the prayer line, that you'll be coming up tomorrow likely. You take that and realize that that scripture was not a fable. There was a man sent of God who made that scripture alive. And he could not do that in the lives of the people until they exercise faith. Yes, I'm trying to bring up your faith. Yes, sir. Bring up your faith, my brothers and sisters, that the Lord is able to heal you. Yes, healing is the children's bread. It belongs to us. Yes, sir. And we've got to believe it. We've got to accept it. All right. Now, when the prophet of God came on the scene, and he preached that notable message that you will receive the token or perish, then it was not a fable. It was the truth. Yes. And the truth of it is either that you are going to receive the token, which is another outpouring of the Holy Spirit, or you would not go in the rapture. Now, we believe that. All right. And when the prophet of God preached that there was going to be a revival for the bride, that is not a cunningly devised fable. No, we believe it. When the prophet of God said a latter rain will sweep the world, that was not a cunningly devised fable. You see what I'm getting to? Right? It was not a cunningly devised fable. The seals opening was not a fable. The angels standing upon the earth was not a fable. No, the angels taking up Brother Branham into heaven, it was not a fable. When Brother Branham said the age of 14, he went down to hell, it was not a fable. When he went up to heaven now, beyond the curtain of time, and seeing those who he led to the Lord, it was not a fable. You know, then when he preached the token, it was not a favor neither. Yes, though men deny that today, we believe that. Yeah, and when he preached revival, it was not a favor. No, when he preached that the latter rain will sweep the world, it was not a favor. No, and when he said that there will be another outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it was not a favor neither. No, we believe that. All right. Now, when he said that he created squirrels while he was hunting, and he just said, let there be a squirrel there, let there be a squirrel there, let there be another squirrel there, and three squirrels were created, it was not a favor. Yeah, Sister Hattie Wright could have chosen to believe that that's a favor. But he came down to the widow's house and started talking about the creation of squirrels, and something fell over the little sister, and she said, that is nothing but the truth. Even because it was not a fable. Although it sounds like a fable, yes, to people that Brother Branham created three squirrels, it was not a fable. Now, we are established in the Word of God and in our hearts. You know, we have no doubt of these things. We have no fear. But, beloved, there are people that entertain doubts. And these doubts and these fears, after a time, take them into the world. Yes, unbelief in their hearts. Many people that sat under the Word of God later on backslide. A man asked me, did those things really happen? Those things that you preach, is it really true? I'm talking about a young man who got, you know, he backslid. He was born, grown up in church. And after several years, I met him, and I took him to a service. And coming down, he's asking me secretly, those things that you are preaching, are they really true? Boy, I was so surprised that a person that grew up under the Word of God, sat and heard from a child, would ask me such a question. I said, they are all true. He is still in the world. Unbelief. Yes, I am reconfirming the faith of our children, reconfirming the faith of the young converts. I'm reconfirming, my brothers and sisters, our faith. Yes, that we have not followed fables. All right, you're going to see where this is going to end up here now. So, the token is not a favor, revival is not a fable, the latter rain is not a fable, outpouring is not a favor. And the third full ministry is not a favor. Let's speak the word ministry, and all these things are promised to us. So we have not followed carnally devised fables. No, when we made known unto you the coming of the Lord, when we preach unto you that the seventh seal was not yet opened, but it will be broken to the public at the right time, that was not a fable. That is found in the message of the prophet, page 567 to 578 on the seals. Yes, when Brother Branham preached to us that there will be a resurrection and the people of God will be upon the earth for between 30 to 35 days, that was not a fable. That you can find, I think, in Going Beyond the Camp. Yes, sir. Resurrection. And he said, before the rapture, the saints of God will be resurrected and be upon the earth for between 30 or 35 days. That was not a fable. No, sir. I believe that. Then after that, the rapture is going to take place. That was not a fable. No. And then those who missed the rapture will go through the tribulation to suffer the plagues of the Almighty. That was not a fable neither. And friends, he talk about 1,000 years reign, just like the Bible said, and that is not a fable neither. We believe those things. Now look at the picture here that Brother Branham put out, and that is that the seals was open here in the end time, and these promises are promised to the end time bride. They are men that rose up and start talking about all is over. Yes, pay no attention to these heretics. Over there in India, over there in Africa, around the world, these men are heretics. Some of them followed the prophet of God, and they was anointed by the devil from the beginning. Yes, they were possessed of the devil like Judas Iscariot. He has to go out there after the death of the prophet and sow seeds. They represent the man dressed in black in that vision. Judas followed Jesus right up to the supper table. Right up to the supper table, and he was right there amongst the apostles. Right there. And these men, they followed the message, and they were tools of the devil. Many of those heretics that are renowned around the world today, several of them followed Brother Branham. And they have the same testimony that they've seen and heard the prophet and heard the message. People around the world just think, well, since these men walk with the prophet and talk with the prophet, then they ought to be speaking the truth. Yes, simple in mind. And some of them don't have the books. They don't have the tapes. All right. So now here, friends, we have the prophet of God establishing that we will have the token. We will have a revival. We will have a latter rain. We will have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The seventh seal will be revealed to the public, broken to the public. We will have a great ministry of speak the word power. Speak the word power. Now, I want to assure you here that all those promises that was declared by the prophet of God was not cunningly devised fables. They came from the word of God, and these things was revealed from the seals. Yes, my brothers and sisters. And these promises was laying in the message. The prophet of God, soon after he died, all these heretics arose and start saying that all is over. There is nothing more to come for the bride. The next thing to take place is the rapture. All right. But there was a man in the United States that was saying differently. They fought him tooth and nail, right through, from one end of America until they push him right on your lap, sir. If they did not fight him down there, he would not come up to the east here. And he caught a vision. Yes. And that vision was that there will be a revival. There will be an outpouring. Yes, the token will come. There will be a speak the word ministry. Is that right? My beloved, and you here are witnesses of that man's preaching. Yes, sir. He catched a vision of what Brother Branham was preaching about. Now, he had no message of his own. No, he had brothers and sisters. He caught a vision of what the prophet was preaching. Now, if the prophet preached a revival and that was not a fable, then Lambert never preached a fable then. If Brother Branham preached an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and Lambert preached outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that was not a fable. No, he did not make that up. No, he did not highlight the token by himself. The prophet of God said that that was his highlight message. And this man was identified with that message called the token in the end time here. Yes, sir. So, this man preached exactly what Brother Branham preached, far as the promises of God are concerned. And you are witnesses. Yes, some of you was young, now you're old. Yes, and you watch this man's life. Yes, sir. You watch his conduct. You follow his preaching. And you know it never contradicted itself. You know, you followed right up, and here you are today. Because you caught the same vision. Now, if that was not a fable in Brother Branham's days, it was not a fable in the days of Lambert. And if it was not a fable in the days of Lambert, it's not a fable today. There shall be a performance of those things that we read in the message. I believe it with all my heart. How many believe? Yes, sir. There we are. So we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Young fellows, the just born the other day. Now you are men looking at me. I cannot even recognize some of you. I am here to tell you that I was young and now I am old. Yes, sir. The promise was true back there and it is still true today. But this is not something that your father and mother, pulled you into. You're a privileged child, privileged young man, privileged young woman. Yes, to be born in a Christian home and amongst people that believe the promise of the hour. You ought to be grateful, you ought to be thankful, you ought to respect your parents, love your parents, and give thanks to them, yes, sir, for bringing you up as Christians. You have not followed cunningly devised fables at all. When we say the Lord can heal you, you have not followed a fable. It happened in the Bible. It happened under the ministry of Brother Branham in abundance. And it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen now if you believe in your heart. That sickness could leave you while you are in your seat right here now. Just believe it. Accept it. Yes, don't matter what is that sickness, there is no incurable diseases with God. Yes, sir. I am here, my brother, and I'm not ashamed to be identified with a man called Brother Lambert, better known as Brother Bob. Yes, he cast a vision. Yes, just like Brother Branham said, somebody will catch this vision and take it on. Yes, he caught a vision. Brother Lambert caught a vision of a revival for the bride. He caught a vision of an outpouring. He caught a vision that you must receive this outpouring token before you go in the rapture, otherwise you'll be left out from the rapture. Beloved, what we should be doing right now is to be cleansing our heart, purifying our heart, beating our chest every day. Not sit down and wait for the token, friend. You ought to be purging your heart and make sure that everything is right. If you have worldly ambitions inside of you, you ought to give up them worldly ambition. If you have worldly ambition for your children, yes, you want to send them in the wrong environment. You want to send them in a university. You want to send them out there, my brother, to catch a big education. I'm going to tell you here that this world will pass away. Yes, and anybody that act like that have not caught the vision that Brother Branham had, never caught the vision that Brother Lambert had, and don't catch the vision that we are trying to put over. Education is of the devil. And it takes you further away from God. We only take that much, my brother, to survive here upon the face of the earth. And not to be illiterate people. I'm not supporting ignorance. But when you will take your children that were grown up in the house of God and you know what is going on in the Wesleyan college right here. And you see the nasty life that they live for. Friend, and you want to take your child and go and put them in a university, put them in some kind of a big college, send them abroad to study, send them overseas to make money outside of the word of God. You're a dead hypocrite. Only a hypocrite does that, to send the children away from the word of God. Yes, and push education onto them. My beloved, it was grown up under the word of God. This is the best education in the world. Yes, sir. It's to educate your children to the promise of God. Yes, sir. Educate your children, friend, to the things of God, how to live and how to keep their virginity and how to live pure as Christians. Yes, sir. You send your children in the wrong environment, be it college, be it work, be it the neighborhood, whatever, and you close your eyes to that, you are a dead hypocrite. And you have not caught the vision. Yes, that we preach so much about. Yes, and that is what the followers of Malachi 4 has done. They send out their children, friend, way outside there, and a lot of them is backsliding. Then they have to change the message to accommodate their children in the church. Yes, sir. Those that go through college, friends, and come out whole, they are a blessed people. And in other countries, some of them must go even to get a little job. You've got to go through university. Yes, God have mercy upon them. Yes, sir. But I am talking about a vision that when you catch that vision that Brother Branham put over, friend, Yes, sir. About the opening of the seals and the mighty angels standing upon land and sea. It ought to shock you into desperation. It ought to make you see and understand that the end of the world is upon us. But some people have lost their vision of the great promise of God. Lost their vision of the soon coming of the Lord and the rapture. Yes, and when you lost that vision, you are in trouble. You must keep that vision. Though the vision linger, it shall surely come to pass. And the vision had been lingering, I know that. But the Lord lingered the vision to bring those from Africa, bring those from India. Yes, to help your children. Your little children are growing up. Look at the lovely little girls. Look at the lovely little boys. God has His mind upon them little children. And we should be thankful that He's long-suffering. How are we going to feel to leave that little, pretty little child behind without a divine revelation? God is more concerned about you than you are concerned about yourself. He's more concerned about your children than you are concerned about them. And there are people that don't care nothing about the soul salvation of the children. All that they are concerned with is, my brother, some kind of a work to get and some kind of an education. I say, you yourself is not saved. When a man will think like that and a woman will think like that, they are not saved yet, not even born again. Yes, they don't have a vision of the hour that we are living in. The end of the world is upon us. I never continue to say that. Even though the vision lingers, the end of the world is upon us. Yes. Brother Branham preaching, Brother Lambert preaching, I am preaching it, Brother Penny preaching it, all the ministers are preaching it. The end of the world is upon us. Oh, yes, sir. That's the spirit will be moving in the end time. The Lord delayeth His coming. And when they said the Lord delayeth His coming, they will start beating their fellow servants. That's the spirit. They become disrespectful, defiant, rebellious. Yeah. So when you see somebody knows what the words stand for, and they will come to you as a pastor and say, Pastor, I know that the word says that we have to wear loose clothing, but this is my style. You're a dead unbeliever. I know that the word said that we should not sell alcohol, but I got to sell some alcohol. You're a dead unbeliever. You don't believe the word. You don't have a vision. Yes. I know this and I know that and I know what the word say here and I know what the word say over there, but I have to do it. Yes, in other words, you ever heard people say, Christians, they say, I wasn't a tight person, I just had to lie. Your soul is not yet ready for that token. You got to make them lies right. Yes, there is no excuse for breaking the word of God. Yes, no excuse whatsoever. Yes, friend, I'm not chastising tonight. I am reminding you of the promises of God. So don't get quiet in me there. All right, I'm telling you about if you catch a vision, what will happen? If you catch a vision, man, listen to me. If you catch a vision, this whole world pass away. Yes, my brother, the ambitions and all these kinds of things pass away. You just want to survive here. You don't want to make money more than you could really use, because you know the corruption of that money and the love of money is the root of all evil. Yes, you won't be fighting for a big chunk of this world out here and a big this and a big that and a big house and a big this. My brothers and sisters, when you catch a vision that Brother Branham had for the church of God, these things pass away. If God bless you with material things and He bless you with money, the Bible says, set not your heart upon it. Some of us, the more we run for money, is that the more the Lord bless us. But that's the doing of the Lord, and He will keep you. Yes, thank God for it. Yes, the Bible said with contentment is great gain. And the Bible said, you have food and raiment, be contented therewith. Yeah. What do you want to pick up your child as a flower that was grown up in the house of God, still have her virginity, and a young man had not even known a woman? and pick up that child and push her in that stinking whorehouse called a university. Why you want to do that? You have no vision. You have no desire for salvation. You're just a church member. I speak this for India, speak this for Africa, speak this for Bethel, speak this for wherever this tape may go. Salvation is more important than an education. How many say amen? I say salvation is more important, my brother, than an education, more important than money, more important than house, more important than land, more important than job. Yes, sir, that's the way that we ought to view salvation. My God. And now, when Lambert came to the east here and declared the word of God, he did not bring a cunningly devised people. He brought unto you a sure word of prophecy. Sure word of prophecy. He cast the vision. He took it on. When Brother George stood behind the pulpit and spoke to you young people, they were yet young. He never preached fables. When Brother Maggie stood behind the pulpit, that was not fables, brother. He was not trying to make a church, yes, and a cult, and have everybody dressing in a certain way and living in a certain way. No, it is the requirements of the message. What we are preaching, friends, is a requirement of the message. Although they have perverted the message worldwide, we are establishing the requirements of the message. Women must dress modestly. Their dress must be looser. Yes, sir. Must be loose, my brothers. Must not be hugging their bodies. They should not be walking in high-heeled shoes. People should not be watching a television. These are the requirements of the message. All right. So, here we are. That this is not a fable. Now, when somebody devises a fable, they devise a fable in order to make church members. Nimrod devises religion in order to bring a one-world religion and a one-world church. And anybody that goes out with such fables as the seven thunders is revealed, yes, and they can watch television, it's a fable. Yes, sir. And the women could wear sock dresses as long as it is long enough to cover their knees is a lie. It's a fable. Yes. Now, if you had followed a fable today, we would be soliciting your money. Lambert would be soliciting your money. Branham would have solicited your money. Yes, but to show that this is not a fable, we do not solicit your money. Yes, we only fulfill the scripture where it is concerned about your tithes and offering, and that is it. And I don't know who is a thief in here and who is not a thief. And I don't think Brother Kenny know who is a thief and who is not a thief. If you don't pay your tithes, you're a thief. All right, come on. Malachi 3. He have robbed God in tithes and offering. So now when a fellow don't pay his tithes here, we have no kind of a listing. You just show that this fellow did not pay his tithes, so thieves could prosper very well. In a congregation like this and wherever the revelation is preached back home. Yeah, so we leave that to a man's conscience. All right. Lambert was never guilty of soliciting your money. If that is true, say amen. I'm not hearing your voice. You got to help me preach to these people in India and in Africa. Yes, these are going out there, my brothers and sisters. I'm putting them in remembrance. Yes, Lambert ever solicited your money here? I say no. How many amen that? Amen. Yes, my beloved Lambert, my brothers and sisters, he never sought popularity. Yes, he never went after women. Lambert never fell in adultery. Yes, he was a true preacher of God and a preacher of righteousness. Yes. So now these are not fables, young fellows. You was not there. If you can say amen, we are telling you. We are witnesses from the beginning that Lambert was not after money, neither popularity, neither women. Yes, we are old enough. We was back there. We met the man. We sat under his ministry. He visited Trinidad. Yes, I communicated with him, the man that was with him from the beginning. And that was not his attitude at all. So I'm saying, not guilty. Where he was not guilty of these things. I'm trying to show you that if that was not a fable in the days of Brother Branham, yes, sir, then it was not a fable in the days of Lambert. Yes, I'm talking about the promise of God. All right. Now, if it was not a fable out here with Brother Branham nor Brother Lambert, then it is not a fable today. All right, I will put one thing here now. When the scribe put together the life story of the man called Robert Lee Lambert, he did not cunningly devise a fable. No, our brother Renner, who penned my brothers and sisters this story, did not cunningly devise a fable. No, sir. He documented the life and some of the teachings of this man and his martyrdom. So the first martyr, which we call the first martyr book, the life story of Brother Bob, is not a cunningly devised fable. It is the truth of the man's life and ministry. Yes, I believe it, my brother, and we publish it in English, and it's going to be published in the Hindi language very soon. Yes, sir. They're now putting in the pictures and everything. Yes, sir. I forgot last night that one book is already printed and published in Tamil. That is book 9. It went out. It's circulating right now. Others are being translated. Yes, sir. And I'm so happy that the world could hear the story of a man that caught the vision. Yes, of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the promise of God. I thank God for this man. Yes, and if you want to find out about him, get the first martyr book. All right. So, if it was not a fable at that time, we, the ministers that are now, we preach the same vision from Brother Branham, the same vision that was confirmed to us by Lambert. All right. And we preach that in the Caribbean, we preach it in South America, and here at GCC, we preach the same thing by Pastor Muggy, yes, sir, and Pastor Renner, right here at GCC. It is not a cunningly devised fable. No, sir. The promise of God is not a fable. And we would not stagger at the promise of God. Neither would we regard the deadness of the followers of Malachi 4 and the mixed multitude around the world. I don't care how much they deny the promise of God, it will certainly come to pass. No matter how much they deny that there wouldn't be a latter rain, and there would not be an outpouring, and there would not be a token coming, and there would not be a third full ministry, a manifestation of the sons of God, we still believe it. We would not stagger at the promise of God. No, but we are growing strong in faith. Oh, yes, sir. So, my beloved, whatever is documented in EODH is what Brother Branham taught. Yes, sir. And it is concerning the promise of God. EODH is a documentation of the same promises that Brother Branham preached and contended for. And the same promises that Lambert preached and contended for. And the same promise that you believe. And the same promise that all the ministers around here in the Western world believe. We have documented it on EODH. 12 books and another one is coming out. Yes, and the time these heretics catch their breath, there is another one coming. Yes, going to expose them. Oh, yes. So now get this properly here now in closing. EODH is a documentation of the same promises which Brother Branham upheld, and the same promises that you and all your pastors upheld throughout the years. All right. You say, but Brother Bruce, there is a title there that said Exposition of Damnable Heresy. Yes, sir, that is correct. We have exposed the heresies of many, many heretics around the world by just comparing their heresies to the promises of God. Understand what I'm saying? So now, we get these heresies from around the world, and we take the promises that Brother Branham left in the message, and the same promises that was aired to you over the years, and we compare these heresies against the promises of God. Yes, and we start telling them, you lie here, you lie there, you lie out here, you told a lie out here, you misrepresent the promise here. My brother, you misrepresent the promise. Then you're a fanatic. Then you're a heretic because you come against the promise of God. That is all that EODH is that we took the promise of God that was not fables, but we took that and examined the fables. We took that and examined the heresies. And we compare what these men are saying and who and had been saying since the prophet died. Nobody opposed them. Yes. But EODH has gone out as a lightning. Yes. To expose all these heresies and show them that you are lying to the people and you lied since the prophet died. And everything went in harmony, yes, and there was not upon the face of the earth amongst messy believers, my brother, a book like EODH. Nobody, no, because it takes the promises of God for you to examine these dead doctrines like all is over. Blood is off the mercy seat. There was no more revival for the bride. Yeah, there is no more outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. 8 messengers around the world. Huh? So now we take the promise of God, and only the promise of God was able to look at these heresies and expose them and say, no, you lied here, the prophet said this. You lied out here, the prophet said this. Yes, this is a heresy, the prophet said this. Yes, they say no more Lateran. You bring the quotation to show that the prophet of God said contrary to that. Yes, sir. And you say that, okay, there is no more power coming in a third-fold ministry. You take the promises of God and match it against all these heresies. That is what EODH is. Yes, it's a documentation of the same promises of God that Brother Branham upheld. Yes, and by those promises, we examine all the heresies, all the major heresies around the world is presently exposed. There are very few heresies, yes, that are not exposed around the world. Everything, yes, in that is major is already exposed. Yes, and Book 13 is going to go out there to take up another gleaning. Yes, of these heresies and expose them. Man, I tell you, there are people that, fanatics that hate that. Yeah. All kinds of a thing they call great ministers' conference and ask one another, what will we do with this? I'm telling you, it happened in Germany. It happened in India. It happened in Africa. What will we do with this? And you know the conclusion that they came to in a couple of places? That we have to drift with some of it. We will have to admit that there is an outpouring. We will have to admit certain things. Otherwise, we will lose our congregation. I'm telling you, brother, that went out of the thunderbolt of lightning. Yes. And our precious brother Guyton over there in Germany, I tell you, he have it to do. You have all them intellectuals to contend with. I said, listen to me. When they come against you, tell them you are not the author, you are the distributor. Contact the author. Yes, as they jump on him, say, I told you to contact the author. Contact the author. But why wouldn't they contact the author? Even because certain people that fight EODH, their names appear there. Yeah. And it was exposed. Yeah, so they stay in a corner and they bark, my brother from Germany. I said, listen to me. Tell them to, I tell the distributor, I say, put the blame on Bruce. Yes. Tell them that Bruce, yes, and the ministers in the West here, they are the ones that are writing these things. They can't catch us because we are too far. Yes. So I tell you, it changed a lot of things. A lot of them changed their doctrines. Yes. Throughout Holland and different places like that. Yeah. As for Mr. Vindial, he's bound with a chain of circumstances. When he goes to certain places, the books are there. Yes. Expose him right there. You hardly even hear of these fellows. Yes. They take the promise of God to expose all them other fables. All these heretics preach fables. Santiago preach a fable, cunningly devised fable. Yes, that he's a son of man and he's Christ manifested in human flesh. Man preach a fable. You talk about a fanatic, my brother. Some of them fables could fit my brother with Nimrod of old. Yeah. Over here, Vindian, he preached fables.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Panner and Clyde, out here, somewhere in the United States, fables. Yeah, so all these fellows preach fables out here. Would it take the promise of God to expose them? Yes. So I am saying to you, my brothers and sisters, over there in India, over there in Africa, whoever will hear this message, that the EODH is the documentation of the same promise of God that was made to William Branham. And travel down to us today to a faithful servant of God called Brother Lambert. Yes, and it is not a fable. Then if it's not a fable, my brother, what it is? I am here to declare unto you that if it's not cunningly devised fable, then it is a sure word of prophecy. Yes, sir. That is what Brother Peter said. He said, I'm not preaching unto you fables. I'm preaching to you a sure word of prophecy. The token that you heard preach, the outpouring, the laddering, my brother, the super church coming on the scene, missing limbs and arms being created, will take place, sir. Because it is a sure word of prophecy. Let the musicians come. Yes. So, it is good. There is going to be a performance of those things which you have heard. Have no doubt, have no fear, young fellows that are not growing up. Get these things down in your heart. Young men in here, master those EODH books. Yes, that is going to help you to meet these fanatics on the field. You will know how to defeat them. You will know their beliefs. Put these things down in your heart. You must master these things. Yes, as young men here, the Lord has called you because he is strong. Call you, my brothers and sisters, so there shall be a performance of the things that you have heard. There is certainly going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and there is going to be a revival here in New England. Somewhere, Brother Branham said, the only place that could take place in the United States is New England. All other areas have rejected the Word of God. So now we look forward with great anticipation for that great outpouring. Everything is tied up in that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds fanatical. It sounds like devised fables to the unbelieving mind. Yes, but the prophet of God said, when that ministry breaks and there come a famine out there and the crops are burning up, some man is going to come out there. He says, Son of God, send me a rain. Yes, and that brother is going to say, I will send you a rain. He said, and that rain will come. He said, there is a disease coming that is greater than cancer. Yes, he said, and that ministry is going to be here to heal the sick. Here we are right now around the world with AIDS eating up the whole world. Yes, whole world, AIDS are eating them up. It takes this ministry to come on the scene. It is going to be a third-pole ministry. And friends, all the signs are showing that we are right at the brink of this ministry right now. Your trials, your testings, and whatever goes on in your midst, friend, the Lord is trying to push you closer to Him. Yes, sir. Sicknesses, troubles, yes, sir. The Lord is trying to push you closer to Him. Then yield to him. Yes. Yield to him. Give him your heart, soul, body. Yes. Knowing that the hour in which we live and all the signs are pointing. Yes. To something. Something got to take place. It must happen. Yes. Unless the day the Lord cut the day short, there shall no flesh be saved. That is what he said. I believe with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. Yes, sir. And there are people that have arisen up. Yes, around the world. India and Africa and all those other places who have caught on to this vision. Now that should be one of the greatest signs to the church here. That the Lord is getting ready to do something. He's really getting ready to do something. And I believe that he will do that very soon. Very soon. I don't believe that this happened by chance where this vision have gone over. You know, this vision went over to India, Africa, and all those other countries. And people responding the way that they are responding. It's a sign to me that something is about ready to happen. I truly believe that EOD, which is now laying a foundation and has laid a foundation for several years, yes, to awaken the people to the promise of God that Brother Branham wanted to see so badly, just like Moses desired to go into the promised land. And the Lord said, no, you cannot go over into the promised land. Yes, I believe that that hour is right upon us now, that people are waking up throughout the world. Beloved, let us show the Lord that we want this. Yes, we want it and we want it badly. Yes, pray, seek the Lord, give him your heart. Give us a song, dear brother. So may the Lord add a blessing to the word tonight. Trust that you have enjoyed that. Give us a song. Let us stand.
Than the vision, the truth seems unto man, because that we were born,
the great lie of Satan,
that
God was rich in
mercy,
through redemption's plan, and grace and truth.
The Son of Man.
Oh, I've come from the depths of the dark deep sea.
From the depths of the dark deep
sea. To the voice of Christ and great
majesty. Of Christ and great majesty.
Redeemed by blood.
Redeemed by the blood.
Of the Lamb was slain.
Of the life of prisoner.
Oh, I've come from the depths of the dark deep sea.
Come from the depths of the dark deep
sea. To the voice of Christ.
To the voice of Christ.
And great majesty.
And great majesty.
Redeemed by the blood.
Of the Lamb was
slain.
Of the life of prison.
Greatest words than ever.
Greatest words than ever.
Help from human lips.
Help from human lips.
Greatest words than ever.
Greatest words than ever.
Fell upon man's
ear.
Greatest grace that ever came to fallen man. This is the rest,
the greatest rest.
Oh, I've come from the depths of the dark.
To the voice of Christ.
And great majesty.
Redeemed by the blood.
to say tonight that I appreciate the words that I heard Sunday and the words that I heard Monday and the words that we heard tonight. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, what Brother Bruce preached last night, I want to say tonight, all that I've heard, I stand behind that 100%. Not only myself, but all of the ministers here at Grace Covenant Church and the ministers abroad there at Bethel, we stand behind Brother Bruce 100% because we are looking for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has brought us together. So tomorrow night, we have in mind to pray for the sick. And I believe that it would do us good. And how many with an uplifted hand would say, Brother Kenny, I'd like to be prayed for tomorrow night? Lift your hands, those that want to be. All right. And so we will have that for tomorrow night, for those that are ready. And we are looking for one of the greatest revivals ever to break here in New England. So I'll ask the musicians just to hold up for a minute. My voice is a little weak, but I want to read a little short paragraph of a quotation that Brother Bruce read last night. And I want you to know that I believe with all of my heart that we are living in the end time. And the Gentiles was given 7 church ages of dispensations, you know, beginning with Paul in the Ephesus or Ephesian church age from the time of Cornelius' house and the Gentiles coming in. And it was to come up with a Gentile prophet by the name of William Branham. And he did come. And he preached his message. So we are living in the end time. And then another sign to us was the white wig Christ, the picture that was taken over Tucson, Arizona, showing you and I that the Lord is ready to bring this Gentile world to the judgment. So I want to read again what Brother Bruce read last night because I feel up on my heart to read it. And it's found from Believest Thou This, 1960. Our education is the greatest hindrance the gospel ever had is education. What we need is not education. We need the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost back in the church to demonstrate the power. Jesus never said, go into all the world and teach. He never said, go into all the world and do. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is to demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost, the resurrection. We're still a million miles short than where we should be. Let us move forward. Let us go back where we left him at the feast of Pentecost. Amen. Beloved, we should be seeking, when we see we're living at the end time, we should be seeking to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, just like they had on the day of Pentecost. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless your heart. Come prepared for tomorrow night for service. And I'm going to ask our precious brother Renner to dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your servant who's standing faithful to thy word, Lord. And Lord, who is bold to stand upon your word and to call attention to the errors and the heresies that have gone forth in the name of the message of William Branham. Lord, we thank you for that work. And we pray, Lord, that you bless him and strengthen him. We thank you, Lord, for the words that we heard tonight. Lord, reminding us that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. But, Lord, that we follow the truth. We follow after thy word. We follow after true prophecy, O Lord. And, Lord, we look for the fulfillment of those things which we've heard, Lord, for so many years. Lord, help us, O God, to press the battle. Lord, to lay aside every doubt, every unbelief, everything that's not like thee. Help us, Lord, to prepare ourselves for service, washing our robes white in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, looking not to the things of this life, but, Lord, looking unto thee, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Go with us now, Lord. Keep us. Prepare us for the service tomorrow night, Lord. And help us, Lord, Lord, to lay aside every doubt that we might receive the things, Lord, that you prepared for us, that we might enter into Christ, that we might be made one body, Lord, in Jesus Christ, to prove the resurrection of Christ. Lord, to prove, Lord, that you're the same yesterday and today and forever. Be with us, Lord. Strengthen us. Bless us together, Lord. Make us what we ought to be. For we commit all things to thy care. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.